We can look at these words this morning in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. The words at the end of the verse where Paul speaks to the Christians in Ephesus and speaks to you and me this morning and says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And what does that mean? What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? The end of the 20th century, the beginning of the 21st century, has been called the age of the Holy Spirit. And there are many reasons for that, but probably the primary reason has been in the rise of many charismatic and Pentecostal churches, that some of the fastest growing churches in the world and in certain parts of the world Pentecostal, charismatic churches to one degree or another. And so it's not a surprise then, in the light of that, that much now is being written and has been in past years on the person of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit. If you were to go back 100 years ago, you might have found it difficult to find a book on the person and work of the Holy Spirit. But things have changed. If you go to a bookstore now, Christian bookshop will have many, many titles relating to the work of the Holy Spirit today. So it's not a surprise then when in a congregation, when I talk to people about, well, what sort of big questions do you have you come across in relation to what the Bible teaches, that people come with questions about the person, the work of the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? What is the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What are we to make of some of the phenomena which people associate with the work of the Holy Spirit? I've chosen to deal with perhaps the most practical and personal question this morning, which is the basic question, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? And that's a very important principle in the spiritual life. So as far as possible, we'll set some of the controversies to one side and look into our hearts this morning at this great need to be filled with the Spirit. We could say it's the need of the hour. Your need, my need. The need for every Christian in this congregation. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Our great need that we would be filled with the Spirit. What difference does that make? How can you recognize the work of the Spirit? What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? If someone was to ask you this morning, are you filled with the Spirit? That'd be a startling question to be asked. What would you say? Are you filled with the Spirit? So it's important, isn't it, that we get to grips with what this means and practically how it applies to us this morning. So first of all, I want to deal with three common misconceptions, three wrong ideas. Let's clear the ground, as it were, a little first before we begin to look at what Paul actually means by what he says here. Because there are three common misconceptions that you are likely to come across if you begin to talk to people and read books even about what it means to be filled with the Spirit. One common misconception is that to be filled with the Spirit is merely an emotional experience. Now, for many people, that may be the first thing that comes to mind them. You may hear about certain things happening in certain Christian meetings. People who fall on the floor, or who shout out, who laugh uncontrollably, who speak in strange tongues. And for some people, the idea of being filled with the Spirit is just linked to some sort of emotional experience. Now, all of those things I have mentioned are not necessarily the mark of the work of the Holy Spirit in a person's life. Which is not to say that some of those things may or may not be genuine, but we should remove from our minds the idea that being filled with the Spirit is just a temporary emotional experience. That's it. That's not what Paul means when he says, be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit is not merely an emotional experience. The second thing that we need to clear away from our minds is that when Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, he is only speaking to special Christians. You may think this morning, when the preacher talks about being filled with the Spirit, well, that's something for preachers, or that's something for some special class of Christian, some sort of super Christian, but it's got nothing to do with me. Now, it's very easy to fall into that way of thinking. Notice who Paul is writing here to when he says, be filled with the Spirit. Who is he writing to? He is writing to all the Christians in Ephesus. He's not writing to some special class, some reserved group. No, to every Christian in Ephesus who receives this letter from the Apostle Paul as it's read out in the church there, and perhaps in some of the churches around, he says to all of them, be filled with the Spirit. Now, it may be that you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you need to know the first work of the Holy Spirit in your heart and life. Jesus spoke to a religious man called Nicodemus once and spoke to Nicodemus that he must be born again, born from above, a new life, a new birth by the power and work of the Holy Spirit. If you're not a Christian this morning, you need to cry out to God for cleansing and grace and mercy, and to know that initial work of the Holy Spirit to give you a new heart and a new life and a whole new direction before God. But if you are a Christian, if you have known anything about this work of the Spirit in convicting, converting power in your life, every Christian this morning here is told, well then, be filled with the Spirit. Another common misconception is to think, well, this is a rather controversial area of the Christian life, so perhaps we'll just put it to one side and ignore it. Now, again, that's a very common problem today, because when there are excesses, people doing strange things in the name of the Holy Spirit, some people then want to dismiss any idea of thinking about the work of the Holy Spirit in the Christian life. Some people make a huge mistake there and refuse to even think about the work of the Spirit in the heart and life of a Christian. I'm saying to you this morning, if you are a Christian, you desperately need the Holy Spirit. And you desperately need, like I desperately need, to be filled with the Spirit. And to be continually filled with the Spirit. To keep on being filled with the Spirit, as this verse could be translated. Listen to the greatest preacher, perhaps, of a century before, 19th century, before the end of the 20th and the beginning of the 21st century. C.H. Spurgeon, who said, the grand thing the church wants and needs at this time is God's Holy Spirit. More than anything else, we need to rediscover the Holy Spirit, he said, and to learn anew to depend on him. Mr. Spurgeon, preaching about this truth, saying, look, this is a very crucially important area of the Christian life. What the church wants and what the church needs more than anything else is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's a massive mistake to say, oh, this is a controversial area. We just sideline it and ignore it completely. So we're not talking about a merely emotional experience. Now, being filled with the Holy Spirit may touch you emotionally, but it's not merely an emotional experience. This is not something that Paul is reserving only for a certain class of special Christian. And it is not an area we should sideline because in some ways it might be controversial. Let's look at the text. What is Paul talking about when he says, be filled with the Spirit? Let me give you the same text in different translations of the Bible. Here's our New King James translation, verse 18. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The NIV, do not get drunk on wine which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Or the New Living Translation, don't be drunk with wine because that will ruin your life. Instead, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. So let's make some observations about the text. Notice, first of all, there's a contrast here between wine and the work of the Spirit. Do not, verse 18, be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, excess, that will ruin your life. Contrast, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, why does Paul draw a contrast between wine and Spirit? Well, clearly the contrast is about control. If you drink too much wine, that will alter the way you act and live and your behavior. If you get drunk with wine, you will say and do things which you would not ordinarily do. And you'll ruin your life if you get drunk. Now, your emotions may be heightened for a brief period, but the elation, the high, will be quickly followed by a low. If you drink too much wine, your mental processes will be affected, your decision making will be altered. All of that has a negative effect. Do not be drunk with wine. You drink too much wine, it will alter your life. But, contrast, be filled with the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit will have an effect in your heart and life. But not negative, like being drunk, but positive. So, for example, in the book of Acts, timid, frightened disciples who are afraid to speak about Jesus are filled with the Holy Spirit, and you find they become bold witnesses for Jesus Christ. Here, Paul mentions three practical things which change in a person's life as a result of the filling of the Holy Spirit. But be filled with the Spirit, comma. Okay, what will happen? When you're filled with the Spirit, verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This joyful praise will be a result of the work of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God. You'll have a heart of praise for God. You'll have a joyful heart before God. And submitting, verse 21, to one another in the fear of God. There will be an attitude of mutual submission to one another. Singing, joy, submission. And that last point of submission, mutual submission, is very significant. You give up your right to be in control in every situation and to have your own way. A heart touched by the Holy Spirit, there's a different attitude in that person's life. I don't have to insist on my own way. No, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Notice also here that this is a command. Be filled with the Spirit. So whatever Paul is talking about here, he isn't saying, here's an optional extra which you can tack on if you like in the Christian life. But it's an optional extra. It's not absolutely necessary. I said to you that we went to change our car the other day. And when we changed the car, bought a new car, there were all sorts of optional extras that the garage will want to try and get you to buy from them when you're buying the car. Do you want to extend the guarantee on the car? All sorts of complicated plans that they had about the value of the car going down and insurance value going up and all sorts of things. I said, no, I don't want any of the optional extras. I just want to buy a car. But Paul is not speaking about the work of the Spirit here like that. He's not saying, now, you can live the Christian life and everything will be fine, but if you want like a supercharged extra, optional extra, be filled with the Spirit. No, he's saying. Every Christian here this morning, here's a command from the Bible. Be filled with the Spirit. If you're not filled with the Spirit, you are out of God's will, Paul says. Be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. And notice it is in the present tense. It's an idea of continuous action. Like I was saying to one or two of the children, like with a car, you don't fill the car up once, buy a new car, fill it up, that's it now till next year. No, you have to keep on filling the car up. And that's what Paul is saying here. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. We could legitimately translate the verse, be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Which is why the idea of this work of the Spirit as just a one-off experience is a misleading thing to think in that way, a wrong way to think. It's a misconception. No, here's a continuous, ongoing, present tense command. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. Be continually filled with the Spirit. And then notice this also, that it's what we would call technically, it's in the passive voice. In other words, Paul doesn't say to the Ephesians, fill yourself with the Spirit. That would be active. You do something, you fill yourself with the Spirit. No, he's rather saying, passively, be filled with the Spirit. Now that may be a bit hard to understand, but it is important. In other words, the filling of the Spirit is a work of God, not man. Paul is not saying, fill yourself with the Spirit. He's saying, be filled with the Spirit. Which is why that translation, one of the translations I read, translates it, let the Holy Spirit fill and control you. Not you actively, you fill yourself with the Spirit. No, allow the Holy Spirit to fill and control you. If I was to make up a word here to describe what Paul is talking about, the word I would make up is fillability. Like when you go to a petrol station in another country where there's an attendant who takes hold of the petrol pump and takes the cap off your car and fills it up for you, fill the car up, you say, I need petrol. I want the car to be filled with petrol. But you just sit there. Someone does it for you. There's a sense here that Paul is talking about fillability. Your willingness to acknowledge before God this morning, I can't just live the Christian life under my own steam, in my own strength, in my own power. Lord, I need you. And unless you fill me with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to be running on empty. I need you, Lord, in every part of life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. You see, you acknowledge your need, your weakness, your dependence on God. And then you also have, in your acknowledging your need, a desire. The desire is, Lord, to know more of the work of the Spirit in my heart and in my life and in every area of my life. And the work of the Spirit will produce at least these things in my life. A joyful heart before God that sings God's praise. A thankful heart before God. A joyful heart giving thanks always for all things to God and will produce this wonderful work. See why it's so important in the life of a congregation. Not everybody jumping up saying, I want my own way. No. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. So some observations from the text. Let's think thirdly about some applications then in life. Three applications you need to think about, I need to think about this morning, relating to the Holy Spirit and this be filled with the Spirit. The first is the issue of control. In a way, that's the central issue. Who's in control of your life? The fundamental question, is God in control? Or are you saying about your life, I want to be in control, not God? In a way, everything else will follow after that simple truth. But if you miss that, you miss a central part of what Paul is saying here. It's very easy for us to revert back. It's one of the default positions of the human heart to say, I want to be in control. Coming to God, crying out to him, Lord, fill me with your Spirit this morning anew. We sang, didn't we, in one of the songs we sang this morning as the offering was being taken up. A song that expressed in a way what Paul is talking about here. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. See, not just a one-off experience. Day by day, fall afresh again on me. Break me, melt me, mold me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Lord, you are in control. You control my life by your Spirit. I hand over control to you. So here's one way this text applies to all of us. Does the Holy Spirit have the controlling interest in your life this morning? Go back to that contrast between wine and spirit. If alcohol controls your life, then you'll have problems and it will lead to ruin. If the Spirit controls your life, then you will know this joy, thankfulness, mutual submission. Your life will be radically changed depending on who or what is in control. If a person is controlled by anger, then anger will control that person's life. If a person is controlled by greed, then covetousness will control that person's life. If a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit will have controlling interest in that person's life. We could say that being filled with the Holy Spirit means not so much that you have more of the Spirit, it means the Spirit has more of you. You choose this morning to say, Holy Spirit, I want you to take control in every part of my life. Be filled with the Spirit. So there's the issue of control. Secondly, also the issue of cooperation. If the Holy Spirit comes into a person's life when that person becomes a Christian, that convicting, converting work, that initial work of the Spirit, that the Christian is a man or a woman who has been born again by the work of the Spirit. Very soon in the Christian life, you discover, well, are you going to now cooperate with the Holy Spirit and let him lead you, him guide you, him control you? Are you going to fight against the work of the Holy Spirit, grieve the Holy Spirit, want to go your own way? Will you cooperate with God, or will you fight against God this morning? So the issue of being filled with the Spirit is an issue of control, being controlled by the Spirit. It's also an issue of cooperation, that you say, I'm going to, as the Spirit works in my heart and life, as God has his way in my life, I'm going to cooperate in every way with how God leads, how God guides, how God directs, what God wants. Nor all the time, what I want, what I want, what I want, but rather, what the Lord wants, what the Lord wants, what the Lord wants, cooperating with the Lord. And then finally, then, there's an issue of contact. Another way, if I can use a different form of transport to think about this work of the filling of the Holy Spirit, some of you know that before I moved to London, we were living in Sheffield for a number of years. And every day in Sheffield, virtually every day, Wendy would go back and forth to work on what was called in Sheffield the super tram. There was a super tram stop quite near where we lived. And the super tram would take Wendy all the way from near where we lived right into the city centre. Now, how do trams work? Or at least the super tram? Not by my picture of being filled up with petrol or diesel so much. But think of another picture. The tram worked because overhead there were lines which the tram was linked to, and the tram ran by electricity because it was in contact, the tram, with the overhead power lines. If the tram lost contact with the overhead power lines, then the tram would stop, wouldn't be able to go at all. But while it was in touch with the rails, while there was power being transmitted down into the tram would work fine. It was a great way of getting around in Sheffield. Sheffield was an unusual city. Half of the city had the tram. One half of the city didn't have the tram. There was one political party which just had the majority in Sheffield, and there was an opposition party which never quite managed to take power off the majority party. Guess which part of Sheffield had the tram? So there was a political dimension to it. But the tram worked anyway because it was in touch with the electricity lines. Paul is saying, be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit have control in your life. As the Spirit works in your life, cooperate with the Spirit. And stay in contact with God, the Holy Spirit, at work in your life. In other words, do not grieve the Spirit. We sang another hymn this morning about the way in which our sins can grieve the work of the Spirit, which is why we need constant cleansing, constant access to God through Jesus Christ, keeping in touch, keeping short accounts with God, keeping in contact with the Spirit. You lose contact with the Holy Spirit, like the tram will stop if it's not in contact with the power that's available above. If you lose contact with God and you don't have contact with power available, divine power from above, your Christian life will grind to a halt. So here's a very important part of the Christian life this morning. The Bible saying to you and to me, every Christian here this morning, be filled with the Spirit. If you're a Christian, you are to be continually controlled by the Spirit, cooperating with the Spirit, in contact with the Spirit. So what we need, this passive sense, be filled with the Spirit, what we need to admit before God this morning is emptiness. Lord, I need afresh to be filled by your Spirit. Will you fill me afresh every day? Will you keep on filling me with the Spirit? I'm not going to just take control of life for myself. I want you to be in control of every part of life. Without you, I'm empty. Fill me with the Spirit. And you need openness. Emptiness and openness before God. A willingness. Lord, I'm open to you. Let your Spirit fill me. Conscious of need and willing to yield to the Lord. So living without the Holy Spirit's filling, his control in your life, is really a part of rebellion against God. You make yourself fully available to God. You say, Lord, this morning I'm empty. I need to be filled afresh by the Spirit. And that openness, that desire before God to say, Lord, I'm coming to you. Lord, let your Spirit fill me now. Let's pray as we come to God with that openness and yieldedness in our hearts and lives. Let's come to God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the mighty work of the Holy Spirit in bringing a person out of darkness into light, new birth from above, that initial work of the Spirit, bringing a sinner to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith. But Lord, every believer here this morning, coming now, and able to come to say, Lord, take control. I am open to you. Fill me afresh with the Spirit. And also that desire. Grant us more, Lord, of that desire, increasing desire, to see the Holy Spirit taking control in every part of life. A willingness also to cooperate with the work of the Spirit. And to keep from anything that would cause us to lose contact with the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of holiness. Oh Lord, help us this morning. Help us individually. Help us as a congregation. May in days to come, may each of us know more and more of this work of the Spirit. Continually keep on being filled with the Spirit. And hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now we're going to sing a closing hymn together again, which is not from this hymn book, but it's going to be displayed for us, which talks about, I think in the second and third verses, it talks about this work of the liberating work and the filling work of the Spirit. Spirit of God, come fill, emancipate. Emancipate means set us free. Come Spirit of God, fill, emancipate us all. Thanks for showing that. We'll sing it from verse 1.
Thank you.
pray. Spirit of truth and grace, we pray this morning that you grant to each one of us that attitude of a willingness this morning to acknowledge our emptiness before God, our need of your filling, and of that cooperation in our lives, that we will not resist the work of the Spirit, but also that sense of keeping in contact with God by the work of the Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your willingness to come and work in our lives by the work of the Spirit. Grant to us that yieldedness before God, and may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and all God's people today and even forevermore. Amen.